There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, welcome in to Midday Mobile here on FM Talk 106.5. This is Dalton Orwig sitting in for Sean for yet another day. Gave Sean just a little bit of time off. I signed the deal that allowed him to take a little bit of vacation time. He doesn't get it very often, so he will be back later this week. But today, we brought the Mobile Command Unit out again, live from the fantail of the USS Alabama here at Battleship Memorial Park. And they've got some great events coming up here at the Memorial Park. And I'll be talking in just a second with Major General Janet Cobb, director here at USS Alabama Memorial Park. But got a full first hour lined up here for today. Here in the next segment, we'll be talking with Brian Kane from Fairhope Brewing Company. Tomorrow night, the FM Talk 106.5 crew heading out to Fairhope for the 12 Bartenders of Christmas Charity Bartending Night. Will be there from 5 to 7. Tips and donations going to Wilmer Hall. So we'll be talking with Brian Kane about that. And then at the bottom of the hour, high school football championships, the Super 7 start tonight in Auburn, Alabama at Jordan-Hare Stadium. And I'm going to talk to my good friend and coach, Rick Cleveland, who's getting ready to call some of those games on the radio tonight. So looking forward to talking to Brian and Rick later in the hour. But right now, it's all about the USS Alabama and for the rest of this hour. Oh, and at 1 p.m., Scuttlebutt Network takes over. The Marines will take the microphone from me, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. So stay tuned for Scuttlebutt Network. But General Cobb, great to have you here. Great to talk to you again.
It is great to be here on Midday Mobile with Dalton Orwig. Let's just call it out. That's what it is this week. Sean's
yes.
taking a vacation. Uh-huh. Well-deserved. And we're always glad to have you here and have a good time this week running the show.
Well, we always have a great time when we come out to the battleship. And it was also my first time driving the van up
the plane. Exciting. Up the gangway.
Up the gangway. Had plenty of people helping me make the turns because it's a pretty tight little turn there.
It
but
is.
We made it. We're on the air and we're ready to roll. And you guys ready to roll this weekend. You've got a really, really cool event coming up, the Living History Crew Drill, a full-on reenactment from a World War II. What is a battle you're reenacting? Tell me about what's coming up on Saturday.
We have a great organization called the USS Alabama Living History Crew. These reenactors usually come to us from other venues. They're mostly local, but they also come from all over the Southeast. They do a lot of other type reenactments. We have participants that do the War of 1812, things you might not even think of, but they come every other month here at the battleship, and they do a World War II reenactment. Several years ago, they began to institute deck drills. We were able to refurbish with propane three of our 20-millimeter Oerlikon machine guns on deck. One of the 40-millimeter Bofors guns will traverse and range, and it will fire. So the sound effect is there. Mm. We do some deck drills. We let kids get put in the Stokes litter baskets. The medics will take the kids off as if they're wounded. And then the highlight in almost every time, if the weather permits, we have several pilots that are local men who fly out of the Irvington area. And they knew some of the local Living History Crew participants. And they said, we would like to come, and we'll buzz the battleship. And it's come into its own. It is a full-blown... You can see those. Sometimes they'll have two, three, four planes. They're up in the sky. You see that silver. You see them turn over and dive. They come in. They use smoke. They fire. They fly over the fantail of the ship, you know, right over, you know, within the safety zone.
Yeah.
And it is insane. You might have, you know, a couple of thousand people on the ship or in the park, and they're diving. And then, of course, if the guns, there's a segment where they act as if they've been hit. They trail smoke. It is it is the craziest thing. And even more important, with the 75th anniversary of World War II coming in 2020, this Pearl Harbor weekend, Pearl Harbor Day celebration, not celebration but commemoration, will be one of the very last times that those men are recognized for surviving that attack on December 7th, 1941. And we'll have two of them.
Wow.
Two of those survivors who live in Pensacola. They're going to do their best. They've told us that they will be here this weekend, and we will recognize them as part of that commemoration.
That is outstanding. I can't imagine how wild it is for the planes to buzz by and, you know, reading the description, listening to you. You're going to have ham radio broadcasters getting it done, too, as on the ship here also.
Yes. We have two long-standing partners, the Lower Alabama Radio Flying Club. Those guys have been coming here for decades, and they have recently joined with some of the young drone flyers, and now both organizations are thriving because the radio control aircraft guys are teaching the young guys how to fly those. The drone pilots are teaching the old guys how to fly those. And then, of course, the Ham Radio Club has been part of USS Alabama history. They've been here with us for decades as well. And they broadcast worldwide.
Oh, so cool.
It is cool.
What's the lineup for Saturday then? What time should people try to get by here? What time do we actually start with the reenactment? And where will the people that show up, where will they stand to watch all this go down?
When they come into the park that day, they can come and do their normal tour. The Living History crew actually comes in on Friday night. Most of them sleep aboard the ship and live as if the way sailors lived during World War II.
Character actors,
exactly. they will welcome you aboard the ship Saturday morning. So they're here doing different things, and they're giving tours around the ship. At 1 o'clock is the call to battle stations, and that's when those activities begin. And then shortly after, if the weather permits, the aircraft will fly.
That is so cool. And I know there's got to be hundreds and hundreds of kids that would just be so excited to see that go down on Saturday. But that's just one of a lot of events that you guys put on here at Memorial Park. What's some of the other stuff you have coming up?
This month we want to remind people about our veterans. We have a special box prepared at our ticket office. And if you'll come in and provide those veterans at the William F. Green Veterans Home in Bay Minette with these items: T-shirts from size large to 4X, socks, individually wrapped treats like Little Debbie cake, sugar-free candy, puzzles. They love wall calendars if you've gotten some extra 2020 wall calendars. We gather those things up, and when people bring those things in, we provide them with a $2 off of their admission to tour that day. So we have a great response, and some people say, I don't want the discount, but we want to bring these things. So we ask people to do that. That'll be great. And we also, of course, the last couple of years, we've sponsored the Toys for Tots drive. We have their receptacles all over Mobile and Baldwin County, of course. This great program sponsored by the U.S. Marine Corps Reserve. We have our box here. We've emptied it, and we've got it in storage multiple times. People are bringing plenty of toys for the kids. So Toys for Tots, donations for the of items for the veterans at the William F. Green Veterans Home, and then we're just doing our normal quiet period maintenance, things like that, everyday things that you don't see. And you asked me about where people will stand.
Yeah.
You can stand all over the fantail, as high up as we allow you to climb up in the superstructure. There's no bad place to see this reenactment.
And as far as keeping the battle looking the way it does, I mean, it looks so nice. It's such a great tour, and I recommend, if you haven't made it out to Battleship Memorial Park, you've got the USS Alabama, of course, you got the USS Drum, you got the aircraft pavilion, so many, and the memorials, of course, so many things to check out.
Right.
But you guys, this week after Thanksgiving, we just had Giving Tuesday yesterday, you thrive off of these donations. That's how you keep it looking the way it does.
We do. We're an agency of the state of Alabama, and I have 18 bosses, the wonderful men and women of the USS Alabama Battleship Commission, and they provide the oversight for the park. I'm here to run the park on a daily basis to represent the commission, and we've got a great staff of about 47 men and women who keep this park humming. They know what they're doing. We've got people with 20, 30 years experience here, and they do a marvelous job. Our curatorial department consistently adding new areas of the ship, transforming those back to the way the men lived during the 40s, during World War II. So a lot of people say, haven't been in a long time, I think I'll come by. And I tell them, if you haven't been in 10, 15, 20 years, you'll be blown away.
Yeah, I think everyone, not just in Mobile and Baldwin counties, but as far up as Clark County, where I'm from, even further, it's cool. They make you come down. You get to see the battleship, but a lot of people haven't been back since then. And I just got to tell you, as someone who comes on the battleship every time FM Talk airs up here, it's still just as cool as it was when you were a kid.
That's right. And even though we are a state agency, we get no operational money from the state of Alabama or the federal government. So when you come to the park, it's your money to pay to park, to tour, that keeps us open here and keeps us thriving. Thank you to everyone that comes. That is my good friend Bill Tunnell, my predecessor here as executive director and a battleship commissioner, always said, come see us.
General Cobb, thank you so much for having us on the ship.
Thank you. Enjoy running the show this week, Don.
All right. More Midday Mobile on the way next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Dalton Orwig, sitting in for Sean Sullivan. He'll be back later this week. And it's a good thing, too, because not only are we on the road today, and specifically, we're on a battleship here live on the fantail of the USS Alabama at Battleship Memorial Park, and all kinds of great events they have coming up here, specifically the Living History Crew Drill this Saturday. You can get in the park. Of course, it opens, as always, at 8, runs through 4, and the call to battle stations for the amazing World War II reenactment starts at 1. So bring the kids, bring the family, and have a good old time here at Battleship Memorial Park. But on Friday, we're also hitting the road. We'll be live at your CBD store of West Mobile from noon to 2. They're having a Christmas open house at your CBD store. And tomorrow night, an event that I look forward to every single year. And it's not just because of the beer that's involved, although that's a major part of it, but we're pouring beer for charity. The Fairhope Brewing Company 12 Bartenders of Christmas. This is an annual event out at Fairhope Brewing Company, and tomorrow night the FM Talk crew will be bartending for charity from 5 until 7. All of our tips and donations go to Wilmer Hall Children's Home. And on the line right now I have the man at Fairhope Brewing Company, Brian Kane. Thanks for joining me today.
Hey, man. Thanks for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and looking forward to tomorrow night. We'll be pouring beer from the tap. I think this is our third year, but how many years have you guys been running this Bartenders of Christmas charity event?
We have been running this for about, this will be our sixth one, I believe. And we raise anywhere from about $3,000 to $4,000 over the course of the span of the event each year. And it's been great. We've helped out, you know, a countless number of charities. We let all our bartenders pick the cause that they want to bartend for. And you guys, I think, have picked Wilmer Hall all 3 years now, which, you know, again, it's hard to say one charity is greater than the next. I think they're all pretty awesome that everybody picks. So it gives us a chance to sometimes connect with some charities that we don't deal with much, Wilmer Hall being one of them. So it's a great way to connect with those guys.
And this being year three, I hope that I've perfected the pour. Now, I was already pretty good at the pour out of your standard can or bottle, but out of the tap, that took me a minute, and it always takes me a couple minutes once we start at 5 o'clock. But anyone wants to come out for a good cause, have a few drinks at Fairhope Brewing Company, we'll get it done tomorrow night. And I love what you put on the description for the 12 Bartenders of Christmas. Where else can you see city council members and Catholic priests coming together to pour beers? We are just the start, but you have plenty more celebrity charity bartenders coming up over this month.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We've got everything listed out on our website. We've got it on our Facebook. We'll promote them each time. But yeah, we always like to have you guys kick us off, help to start the PR train on this. And yeah, we've got Father Steve from St. Lawrence Catholic Church coming on December 16th, oddly leading into a Saints game, which seemed to work out pretty nicely. And the city council will be there Friday. I think it's Friday the 13th. They're actually going to come around. We've got my personal pediatrician for my kids and another doctor
smart
that we're friends with are coming in one day. They pick a different charity every year to work with. We've got the director of the Exceptional Foundation and Daphne coming in. We've got Ralph Hargrove coming in to bartend for the Hargrove Foundation. So we get a wide and varied list, but yes, having the city council pour beers behind the bar of your own town is always a nice thing to see.
Yeah, you can't beat that. And the last 2 years that we've done this, and surely tomorrow night, we've done pretty well, but Father Williams from St. Lawrence Catholic Church, from what I hear, he always just, I mean, the place is packed when he gets in there. So that's really cool that you guys do that. Whose idea was it to start this Bartenders of Christmas? Were you the brain behind this big idea? I mean, it's great, especially in a giving month like December.
Yeah, I wish it was. I think it was actually our now current PR director, Marissa, who was we were just consulting with at the time. She was working elsewhere, and I think in just a brainstorming session, I think this one came about as a good way to get some people in the tap room that don't normally come in, and then with the main idea obviously being helping to raise money for these causes. But it gives us a chance to introduce some people to our tap room, to our product, and to appreciate that we're supporting a cause they support. So it's a win for everybody around. I know the bartenders all enjoy getting back there, pouring some beers, talking to the people. I guess you generally pour the beer, I think, and Kelly and Sean do all the talking.
That's right. That's how it always seems to work out.
And, I got to get there, get my selfie with Kelly before she leaves.
Yeah.
Which is a part of the tradition of you guys coming out. It's a great time, and I mean, you guys bring out some folks, and we also get a lot of folks that are just there, don't know what's going on, and they find out a lot about the charity or get to meet some of these guest bartenders that they haven't met before just by happening to be having a beer on a Thursday night.
Yeah, and the service, it's downgraded a little bit, just a little bit when we're in there. Of course, you've got some great bartenders on staff, but I'd say the entertainment, we provide that when we're in and doing our charity bartending. I did want to ask you a couple questions now. Fairhope Brewing Company, I've long been a fan of your craft beer, and I feel the further I travel from home base and I see the Fairhope cans in stores, I feel like a proud family member just seeing, nowadays, the further and further out I go, I'm like, wow, they've got Fairhope Brewing Company beers here, too. That's so awesome. How did you, and I think you're coming up, on your seventh anniversary of the first beer you brewed? How did you get into brewing craft beer?
I actually got into drinking craft beer before I got into brewing craft beer. I actually got into Alaska Brewing Company. I lived in Alaska for a few years out of law school and really got into the craft beer world. And then I'm from Mobile, so we moved back down this way with the hopes of actually opening our own brewery because it was still pretty new in Alabama. We were the seventh brewery opening at the time. And we just saw an option. There wasn't anything south of Birmingham when we opened it. We loved the Gulf Coast area. We looked at Fairhope as a great spot for where we wanted our brewery to go. And it all kind of fell into place. Just a good circumstance. I've got my business partner, Jim. We went to law school together. So we kind of bring the business legal mind to it, and then we let other people handle the recipes. We just we taste them after the fact, let them know if they did a good job or not.
That was my next question. How do you guys come up with the next great beer recipe? So you just leave it to them?
We do. We'll see some things around, or we'll try a beer out somewhere. You got to go and test the other folks' products on occasion. We'll taste a style that we really like and say, hey, this is something we should put our own twist on one of these. Let's try and get something like this brewed. Or for a season, we know something's coming up. We want to make sure that we've got some sort of a holiday beer, or we've got a special event coming up. We want to make sure we have a beer made for it. So there's some things that we get some direction from Jim and me on where we need to go. But a lot of it's just we've got a couple of guys that brew for us, and if they've got a recipe that they think is going to be a hit, we usually give them some leeway to try it out.
That's so cool. And you guys have grown so much over these last 7 years. How many different brews do you think you have on tap now?
Well, we've got we keep 15 on tap at all times. So we've got 14 plus a cider. We always got two or three in the back in case something runs out. So we were just discussing how many brews we might have made over the course of the last 7 years, and we haven't even ballparked what that number might be. Most of them do pretty well. We got a few that didn't pan out quite like we hoped, but by and large, when we put something out on tap, it gets a pretty good response.
Hey, I'm willing to even try the ones that don't pan out the way you want them to. I volunteer for being a taste tester at Fairhope Craft Brewery. And one more thing I wanted to bring up with you. You got a couple more events, not just this 12 Bartenders of Christmas, but I saw on the calendar a holiday jazz brunch you've got coming up this Saturday. What's the holiday jazz brunch all about?
We started doing a couple of brunches. We did a Mardi Gras brunch. We did a bluegrass brunch, and they went over really well. We get a food truck out. This time we have 10-10's Rock and Roll food truck, put together a little brunch menu. So he's got some crab cakes with fried green tomatoes. He's got shrimp and grits. He's got a breakfast burrito, and we'll post that his full menu up online. But and then we've got Elliot Miller, who's a local jazz guy, coming out with some buddies to play some music for us. We open up at 10 o'clock. We'll pour up some pour some orange juice and some of the beers if people want it, or we've got our coffee stout always on tap. So it was just that we don't do it often. We've done it about maybe four times a year. We'll run one of these just as a little little change of pace. And a little, you know, SEC championship game coming up at 3 o'clock. This could be a good tailgating opportunity to get ready for the game, even if you don't have a rooting interest in this one. But it'll be a lot of fun. I think it'll be a really good experience.
Hey, we're looking forward to charity bartending tomorrow night. Brian Kane from the Fairhope Brewing Company, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Dalton. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, coming up, Midday Mobile rolls on. The Super 7 State Championships begin tonight in Auburn, Alabama. We've got three local teams in the mix. And Rick Cleveland from Prep Sports Report, he's going to let us know what to look forward to for the state championships. Coming back, more Midday Mobile on the way.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Dalton Orwig filling in for Sean Sullivan. Sean will be back later this week. Live today from the USS Alabama at Battleship Memorial Park. Come on down Saturday, celebrating with a Living History crew drill. Commemorates the 75th anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor. It's always cool when we get to bring the Mobile Command Unit out to Battleship Memorial Park and park it on top of the battleship. Really cool time out here. And thank you to General Cobb for talking with us earlier about all the great events they have lined up. Now, talk about a great event. Tonight starts the AHSAA Super 7 Football Championships this year, being played at Jordan-Hare Stadium in Auburn. And on Midday Mobile to talk about it, we've got Rick Cleveland, host of the Prep Sports Report, every Saturday morning starting at 8 a.m. And a good friend of mine now, been working together on Prep Sports Report for several years now. Rick, thanks for joining me on Midday Mobile.
Thanks, Dalton. Glad to join you. Hope we can have a great 3 days of high school football. Try to find some state champions out there.
For sure. And I know you were planning on being up there at Auburn. Are you calling some games for this? Have you made it up to Auburn yet?
No, I'm still in school, but we'll.
That's right.
We'll go up later this afternoon, and I'll have the 3A game and the 4A game. I'll have Mobile Christian and Piedmont and UMS Wright and Jackson.
And those are two of the three local teams that we still have fighting it out for the blue maps. And it gets started tonight with the Class 7A Championship, Thompson taking on Central Phoenix City. And we've got some good football that's played throughout the state of Alabama, but 7A always seems to provide the best athletes going to the biggest schools. So tonight ought to be a barn burner between Thompson and Central.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people do think it would be a barn burner, but when you break it down, Central Phoenix City is – probably the best football team in the state of Alabama. I really think that Thompson will have to play almost a perfect game to beat Central Phoenix City there. Mark Freeman's got a good football team at Thompson, but Jamie Dubose at Central Phoenix City has got a phenomenal high school football team. They had a setback early in the year. They lost to Josh Niblett and those guys up at Hoover, but have since come back and won 13 straight games in a row. But should be an interesting game. I really think that Central Phoenix City will win the game probably, you know, by 7 to 10 points. But it should be an interesting matchup between those two coaches, two great high school coaches in the state of Alabama.
Well, I know a lot of people in our area looking forward to the games involving our local teams and pulling for Mobile Christian, UMS Wright, Spanish Fort. And tomorrow morning at 11, Mobile Christian gets us started against Piedmont in the Class 3A Championship. Now, Ronnie Cottrell's team, they've been on a tear this last couple of months, and the offense just on fire behind quarterback Kaysen Link. How good has he been for this Mobile Christian offense?
Well, Kaysen Link has been really, really good. He's passed for over 1,200 yards. He's got 16 touchdowns. I think he's got about 5 interceptions. He's rushed the ball over 113 times for about 670 yards. Kaysen Link has been excellent. You know, the great thing about this matchup is they're going to play a Piedmont team coached by Steve Smith, who has done a fabulous job there at Piedmont, but they're a very young team. They start a freshman at quarterback. They have no seniors starting on their offensive line, and Piedmont has 11 freshmen or sophomores in their starting lineup. So this is a great chance for Ronnie Cottrell and those guys at Mobile Christian to beat a very well-established program in Piedmont. So I think Mobile Christian's got a great chance to win this football game tomorrow.
And Piedmont, a pretty good football team throughout the years. I know they're looking for their fourth title in the last 10 years. I know you said they're young, but how good are they? What kind of a contest do you expect them to put up against Mobile Christian? Think we're looking at a tight game?
they've won 13 games. So when you win 13 games playing in that part of Alabama, you're a pretty doggone good football team, I can tell you that. But, you know, and Piedmont will have to put a lot of attention on Deontay Lawson. He's a big linebacker that plays there for Ronnie at Mobile Christian. And he also has been playing some running back and receiver on offense. But where he makes his name is there at inside linebacker. And Deontay Lawson is one of the top recruits in our area. And I'm sure Steve Smith and the Piedmont team have seen a lot of film on him. But I really think that this game, the edge is to Mobile Christian. So, we'll see what happens with that.
Friday at 11 in the morning, UMS Wright and Jacksonville square off in 4A, and the Bulldogs looking for their third 4A title in a row, and just as crazy, their 33rd straight victory. Coach Terry Curtis trying to win his eighth blue map. What's been the feeling around the Bulldogs through this playoff run?
Well, trying to keep everybody healthy, I think, is the main thing. Make sure that Simon Smith is healthy, and they've had a couple of other injuries. Edward White's been injured a little bit. Terry goes into this game, I mean, heck, he's never lost a state championship yet. And when you look at that, that's a pretty impressive record for a coach going into one. I think the attitude here on campus has been, it's another game, it's the last game, and we always want to have a good taste in our mouth after the last game of the season. And so far for Terry Curtis, that's been the MO. They go in, they win, and come home with another blue map. But next year we'll move up to 5A, so it'll be a different story maybe in the next couple of years.
And that'll be interesting. And for UMS, though, it's all about the defense. And one name always comes up when you're talking about the Bulldogs' defense. That's linebacker Will Breland. What does he mean for this team?
I think he's probably one of the top players in the state of Alabama. I think a lot of people are missing on Will Breland. But he is the bell cow. He's the guy that went in at halftime last week. And when he came back out for the second half, he was not going to see his team lose. And if you watch the film of last week's game against a really good Andalusia team, Will Breland was in on about 95% of the tackles.
He's an incredible athlete, and fun to watch out there. Then Friday at 7, Spanish Fort wraps up the Super 7 in the 6A title game against Oxford. And the Toros now looking to win their fifth title of the decade. Talk a little bit about that game for Spanish Fort.
Well, Spanish Fort's going to play a good Oxford team. Keith Etheridge at Oxford, of course, won multiple state championships at Leeds there in Birmingham. Now he's back home at Oxford, and he's got a mighty good team. But I'm going to tell you, Spanish Fort has done an amazing job coming in fourth in their region, and luckily got into the playoffs by virtue of that win that they got over Daphne with an ineligible player, and they have played lights out in the playoffs. And they will go as Chris Abrams' grain goes. However, Chris Abrams' grain goes, and I think he is the Mr. Football in the state of Alabama. But if he plays as he played against Opelika last week, I think Spanish Fort's got a great chance to win this football game.
And, not to get too into the weeds here, but Chris Abrams Drain, an Ole Miss recruit and commit, and now with Matt Luke out as the head coach of the Rebels, I know a lot of the guys that have signed on are kind of second-thinking those commitments. So who knows? He might end up staying in state, but I guess that's for him to decide.
Well, it'd be a great catch for Alabama-Auburn to catch on with Chris Abrams Drain, I can tell you that.
So you'll be calling some of these games. You said the 3A and 4A game. Do you know how people won't be able to make it up to Jordan-Hare Stadium, how they can listen to the call?
Yeah, you can catch us on 105.5. WNSP is carrying all of the area state championship games. So you can listen to it on 105.5. Unfortunately, none of the TV stations chose to carry the state championship games, which I think is really a sad commentary that we don't carry any of the games down here.
And I see you survived the Iron Bowl. You're going up to Auburn, which is a pretty happy town right now. Any thoughts on that incredible game on Saturday?
Well, I thought it was a great college football game, and Auburn just refused to win. And, it's when you look at it, if you would have told me Alabama would have scored 40-something points and lost the game, I would never believe it. But that's Auburn just had the will to win, and luckily came out with a win. I'm telling you, it was a great win for Auburn and great win for Coach Malzahn.
Yeah, and I got to ask you, who do you think wins the SEC championship?
I think LSU is the best team in the country, bar none.
Can't bet against them, that's for sure.
I know people like Ohio State, but I'm going to tell you, the way Joe Burrow has played this year, I just think he's on a mission, and I think they, of course, they're not as good defensively as they've been, but offensively they are mighty, mighty good. Should be a great game if they and Ohio State do play.
Good stuff. Rick Cleveland, thank you so much for joining me on Midday Mobile, and good luck up there calling the games in Auburn.
Take care. Appreciate all you do, Doc.
All right. That's Rick Cleveland. Catch him on the Prep Sports Report every Saturday on FM Talk 106.5. We start at 8 a.m., run through 10 a.m., and I know this Saturday we'll be recapping these state championship games and hopefully bringing back blue maps, Mobile Christian, UMS Wright, and Spanish Fort. Man, we have some great local high school athletes in our area and some great places to check out, too. That's why we're here live at the USS Alabama right on the Fantail at Battleship Memorial Park. They've got some really cool events coming up. Also coming up, we'll wrap up this portion of Midday Mobile at 1 o'clock. Scuttlebutt Network, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters take over. You don't want to miss it.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5 live from the Fantail of the USS Alabama at Battleship Memorial Park. Coming up at 1 p.m., Scuttlebutt Network. Marines are taking the mic from my hands. Tom Claxton and Cal Walters will air their Scuttlebutt Network here from 1 to 2, followed by the Paul Feinbaum Show. And it's a beautiful day out here at Memorial Park on top of the USS Alabama. I mean, the weather couldn't be more perfect than it is right now. Got some good temperatures going. The sun is out. Couldn't ask for a better day. And FM Talk 106.5 will be on the road not only today like we are right now, but also tomorrow night and Friday. I'll tell you how you can catch up with us for the rest of this week. But first, I want to catch up with Angelo from Mobile Bay Coins. Angelo, how you doing?
Doing well. It sounds like you guys are doing great today, man.
Yeah, it's fantastic out here on top of the USS Alabama. And, you know, we just had Thanksgiving, Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday. They've all got names every single day of the week. Every day of the week, also a great time to get out to Mobile Bay Coins and maybe get a Christmas present to put under the tree.
Well, one of the things we always talk about is when you get a Christmas present for somebody, you want a gift that they're going to remember and show off to their friends, because every time they show that off, you're getting little extra brownie points. If you give somebody a gift that just gets forgotten after a few moments, not such a win. But you come down here to Mobile Bay Coins, you look at all the unique pieces of jewelry, the open-out pocket knives, all the cool coins, the pieces of silver and gold, pretty well guarantee you're going to find something here that it's going to make a statement, not just Christmas morning, but for the rest of the year, too.
And, you know, a lot of people, they've got the big prizes they're putting under the tree for the kids, and that's cool. But stocking stuffers, everyone always needs some stocking stuffers. And I'm just thinking the commemorative rounds, you have some incredible, really rare things right there in Mobile Bay Coins.
Some very unusual pieces, those engravable elephant rounds and all the engravable Christmas rounds, those open-out pocket knives, everything from a little bitty keychain size all the way up. Lots of options from stocking stuffer level all the way up to that oh wow present.
And if someone likes the world of collectibles and likes hearing about everything you sell there at Mobile Bay Coins, you're on the air right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Yes, sir. Every Tuesday night from 8 to 9, you can listen to our radio show, Two Guys and Some Change. We'll talk about some of the stuff here in the shop and just about the world of coins and gold and silver bullion and some of the mysteries surrounding that. We try to make it a little simpler and a little fun.
How can folks come out and see you at Mobile Bay Coins?
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can check us out online at mobilebaycoins.com or go on to Facebook and like and follow us there.
All right. Thank you, Angelo.
Have a good one, Dalton.
Angelo from Mobile Bay Coins checking in. A great place to get Christmas gifts or gifts any time of the year. And that's what Americans were doing this last weekend. We talk about it all the time, but Black Friday, Cyber Monday, so many sales going on. And the stats are coming out now, a record 189.6 million Americans joined in the five-day Thanksgiving weekend shopping frenzy. That's according to the National Retail Federation. That's 14% higher than last year. And then when you break down those numbers even further, 48 million shopped only in brick-and-mortar stores, 66 million shopped only online, and 77 million bought their stuff in stores and online. And it's looking like Americans are not only buying more than ever, but shopping earlier than ever. So that's good news when people have a little bit of that extra spending money in their pocket, able to buy gifts for friends and family. And they did it this Thanksgiving weekend. We've got a couple big remotes coming up. Well, one at the end of the week. We'll be live noon to 2 at your CBD store of West Mobile on Hillcrest Road, taking the mobile command unit out. They're on Hillcrest near Grelot across from the Waffle House and having a Christmas open house. And store owner Joe Brown will be giving away a CBD SunMed relief bundle valued at over $240 to one person who comes on out to the remote. And tomorrow night, the FM Talk Mobile Mornings crew will be at the Fairhope Brewing Company 12 Bartenders of Christmas charity event they put on each year. It's the sixth year that this is going down, and we'll be bartending for charity from 5 until 7 with all the tips and donations going to Wilmer Hall Children's Home. So I hope you join us throughout the rest of this week. And speaking of that CBD, you know, I guess it helps the aches and the pains, and a new survey out there asked people what ages they felt that different parts of their bodies started to fall apart. And apparently, the saying is true: once you hit 40, it's all downhill. I know it's not true for everyone, but at least according to some of these people in the survey, they found that when back pain normally starts around an average age of 44, the sense of smell starts to dull at 46. Ankles get weak at 47. That's the same year that your knees start hurting on average and start losing our hearing at 49. I know for, I guess, me in the radio business, I've started losing my hearing a long time ago, always blaring it too loud. But bodies, they say, start falling apart after 40, unless you're Willie Nelson, who's been able to go on and on and on. He's 86 years old now, and something I never thought I would hear: Willie Nelson says he's giving up smoking marijuana because of health issues. Nelson gave an interview with KSAT in San Antonio, said he's abused his lungs quite a bit in the past. Breathing is a little more difficult these days, and he has to be careful. So the pigs are flying, and Willie Nelson is quitting smoking weed. Unbelievable. That does it for Midday Mobile. Coming up, Scuttlebutt Network at 1. We'll see you live tomorrow morning. Mobile Morning starting at 6.